This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
Welcome to the Rocky Mountain Voices and Connect weekly podcast.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Connect Cast. I'm Sydney Tetra with Rocky Mountain Voices, and I have with me today Catherine Peterson, who is senior editor for Connect Magazine. This week, we did a special edition of the Connect Cast. We went to the Women Technology Council's inaugural event, where they brought together 100 women to really discuss issues facing women as they work in various technology fields. Catherine, you had an opportunity to sit down with a couple of the women that were on our panel. Why don't you give them a quick introduction before we jump into their interview?
That's right. We had a chance to sit down with Terry Sund, CEO of Pod Fitness, and Carol Finnegan, the Chief Information Officer of Energy Solutions. They offered some valuable advice about how to advance in your career, how to maximize Utah's economy and the technology industry, and they offered some really great words of wisdom for all of the women there.
That's right. I thought they did a great job just providing insight into how they got into their careers, what motivated them, and what kind of words that they lived by. So with that, why don't we just jump straight into the interview that you had an opportunity to do with them on site.
I'm Terry Sund, CEO of Pod Fitness, Inc. Pod Fitness is the world's first downloadable customized audio workout program. Allows you to build a customized workout right on your iPod or MP3 player.
I'm Carol Finnegan, Chief Information Officer, Senior Vice President of Energy Solutions. We are an integrated services and solutions provider for the nuclear energy industry.
Terry, this question's for you. So Pod Fitness and Microsoft's Health Vaults products target female consumers in their mid-20s to 40s who manage healthcare history in their home. How did the two of you guys find each other?
Thank you. Actually, Microsoft found us. We, in the marketplace, are the leader in customized audio workouts and have built the largest library of content. And Microsoft felt we would be a significant and compelling component to meet the needs of consumers in fitness. We provide an extended solution to customization. So now consumers, thanks to Health Vault, can push content or data about their health history and fitness history, whatever's relevant to a workout, and that content will come to Pod Fitness and populate your profile. So we'll have more information. For instance, if you have diabetes or a specific related issue that is relevant to working out, that content will be populated in your profile and allow us to build a workout for you that's even more customized.
So let's say I'm a 29-year-old type 1 diabetic who works out 4 to 5 times a week. How does Pod Fitness customize that for someone?
Well, the way Pod Fitness works today is very similar to mirroring an experience with a personal trainer. So we're going to ask you very relevant questions to you that really will populate your personal profile. What are your fitness goals? What are you hoping to accomplish? What fitness level are you currently at? Are you a beginner, an intermediate, advanced? What equipment do you have access to? And we really identify all the unique attributes of that consumer. With the Health Vault, we have the ability now to take it even one step further. So we can capture all your health history. For instance, if it's diabetes, we'll now know that there may be some unique content or unique workout clips that would be relevant to you versus somebody else. And the system will take your profile, assemble it in an MP3 form, and allow you to have a more customized experience or more coaching that's relevant to you and your health history.
This question's for both of you. How can women leverage Utah's economy and the emerging tech industry to climb the corporate ladder?
I would say that, this is Carol Finnegan, Utah has an incredible technology climate, high tech. I'm talking about information technology from my perspective. I've seen a lot of educational programs here that are superior. Westminster College, University of Utah are the two I'm most familiar with, and then Salt Lake Community College, looking into interns from the college for our company. But I would say that just going through the educational channels and the networking channels through the colleges are great entrees into the business community.
And this is Terry. I would echo that. I think Utah could even take it one step further and push that knowledge and that information to women. I've had numerous individuals who make contact with me and ask those questions. Where do you learn about some of these programs? And it's, you know, I think if they did a more regular communication, it would be very helpful. But I would agree that the educational system is the most effective place to become informed and hopefully have the resources that will assist and help them.
As a follow-up to that, what do you think are the greatest obstacles for women who are wanting to advance in their careers or reach that C-level status?
I'm going to take that. This is Carol. I think the only obstacle is in their heads. There is no physical barrier. There is no economic barrier. There is no corporate barrier to women succeeding in Utah or any place in the United States. It's really getting past the mindset of I'm a mom or I'm a woman, or, you know, I have not ever once been held back by being a mom, a woman, someone who does animal rescue. None of those things have held me back. It's been the things in my head that I've had to get past. And once you're past anything that is a self-impediment, the world is just totally open to women right now.
Carol, you mentioned you have a liberal arts background.
I do.
And you never thought you'd be where you're at today. Terry, did you ever envision that you'd be CEO of your own company?
I probably did. I think from the time I was a child, there were no barriers. I never questioned my capabilities or that there would be a ceiling, or my interests matched up nicely with how I was reinforced in my home. And I did, as a young child, always believe that I would probably have my own business or do something of an entrepreneurial or independent basis. But I have a wide array of business background. It's certainly, I didn't see myself in technology. That was not anything I went to school for. But I think compliment to my upbringing and my nice network of contacts, there was opportunities that if I networked appropriately and continued to open my mind, it was endless.
And where did you go to school?
University of Utah. So here in Utah.
What did you study?
Public communications initially. My dream was to be a broadcaster and wanted to actually be an anchor, and learned quickly that there probably wasn't much money in that initially, and I was motivated by making money. So I quickly shifted to business management, and that's the rest is history.
What traits do you see in yourselves that have helped you as women move up the corporate ladder, and that you would give as advice to other women?
I see in myself extreme responsibility, not just personal responsibility, but for the environment around me, for ensuring that the world's a better place for other people. I was a Girl Scout for 20 years. It wasn't that I failed at it. I succeeded up through the ranks. But I think just taking responsibility for the things around you that need to be done, whether it's in your scope or not, don't assume someone else is going to pick up the slack, and be a responsible individual. And that just moves you forward as a person and in business.
I love Carol's comment. My initial comment, and probably how I've built my personal business, has been in leveraging and nurturing the relationships and the networks that I have been invited to expand. Contacts, it's amazing. I think most people don't hold their Rolodex sacred, and the contacts I have in my earliest of business days are people I could easily pick up the phone and expand my knowledge and continue to collaborate with them and be educated. They've been probably more of a resource for me, frankly, than even my early education. But my relationships have been crucially important to me, and they're things that I value deeply. So I would add that piece, at least from my perspective.
What are one or two networking techniques that you have that have helped you?
Well, I think being real, being honest. A relationship is only as good as you're willing to develop that relationship. I mean, if you're constantly calling somebody just for information on what's good for you, you're probably going to get about that level of networking. A relationship to me is two ways. How can you both serve each other in what you're trying to accomplish? I'm as willing to listen as I am willing to have someone help me out and willing to collaborate and help. So for me, at least, it's relationship based on a real honest and open friendship that in business is possible.
In most of the women that I've interviewed, most have come to a point where they've had this soul-searching period where they decide either they're going to stay in the corporate world or they're going to leave it. Have you ever come to that point in your life? And if so, what made you decide to stay or leave?
I came to that, I guess my son was about 8 years old, he's 13 now, and I really wanted to work in the nonprofit arena. And at the time, I was put on the board of a nonprofit in Baltimore, where I was living. And I decided through my soul searching that I could do more good staying in my corporate role and balancing my life with nonprofit work than I could leave by leaving the corporate world and going strictly into nonprofit. I have a lot of talent and energy I bring to nonprofit, but I don't have to abandon my great corporate job, where I'm also doing good and providing for my child, to go do purely soul-satisfying work. I can do both.
For me, probably the deepest soul-searching was the birth of my first child. It was very difficult for me to have children, and when I realized that both my husband and I wanted to have kids, it took us a long time. And after several, you know, miscarriages and all the things that you go through to try to have a child when you're not able to, we finally did have a little girl. And it was at that point that I had to really search deep. My entire life, from the time I was a very tiny little girl, I knew I wanted to work. It wasn't even an option. I you know, little kids at school would say, "What do you want to be when you grow up? A mommy, a teacher?" And, you know, I just knew I wanted to work. Business was just a really significant interest to me. But I remember holding her and thinking for one brief moment, is this the right move? Am I doing something that is in the best interest of this child and myself? And really did take time out to realize I will be a better mother with an added perspective that I can bring to our relationship. And it was important to me. I needed to feed myself as much as I was feeding her. I will be a better mom by serving those innate traits and the things that matter to me. And it works. It works for us. It works well. And we have a phenomenal relationship, and I do with my son as well. So it is possible, and I've never looked back and regretted those decisions. They were meaningful steps in my life.
What would you want other women to know about your experiences?
Well, I would say that even the negative experiences, and there have been a few, have been positive in the long run. Every experience I've had has contributed to who I am as a person, as a mother, as a friend, as a boss, and a coworker. You may have to sit back and take a little more time to evaluate the negatives to say, hey, why did this happen and what did I learn from it and what can I take out of it? The positives kind of wash over you and you kind of move forward, but the negatives, good point to stop and reflect and not just brush them off and say, you know, I'll get past this too, but really do some soul searching and some inquisition. You know, why did that happen?
My gosh, I echo completely. I would have to say people need to understand, especially women, that executive women didn't just get there without failure. It wasn't a cakewalk. It was a lot of hard work, and I probably have had more disappointments, more challenges, and frankly, more failures than I have successes. But I'm where I am today because of that, and I've been able to take a real introspective look at why, what did I learn, and frankly answer the question, what am I hoping to accomplish? What's the desired outcome I'm looking for? And that has shaped where I am today. It is possible if you fail. I mean, good grief, that's life. And I think the more important lesson is, how do you turn that into growth and moving yourself forward, picking yourself up, and continuing to learn and grow. Every day there are disappointments in business, every day. But there are also incredible shining moments of excitement and success that make it worth it.
That's it for this week's Connect Cast. Thanks for joining us.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.